Scripture reading would be coming from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Once again, that's Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And the Bible's provided for you. That can be found on page 988. And it reads, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned."
Good morning. It is a delight to be here together this morning. We're thankful for your presence. Jason, can you turn me up a little bit more, please? Thank you so much. We had a great day yesterday. You know, when you leave stuff to the professionals, they get it right. And when you intermeddle with the professionals, it goes wrong. Jason probably had me just right back there. Now I've caused a something. Can y'all hear in Second Church back there in the back? That's a long way back there. You probably need me to talk so you can see if that's going to keep ringing, don't you? Now we're good. Good morning. There's nothing to see here. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. There's nothing. We're going to start a new challenge next month. We're just about ready to do that, and we'll say more about the specifics of the challenge in the afternoon service prior to our singing. But it has to do with evangelism, and our Lord has commissioned his disciples to do exactly what you find on the screen, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our Lord then addresses the responsibility and the reactions of those who are here, which is what we'll talk about this morning, and that is reactions to the gospel. Ultimately, the question will rest in your lap, and what will be your reaction to the gospel? The challenge for those of us who are Christians is that evangelism is often misunderstood. And unfortunately, it's misunderstood by the saved and the lost. And this makes it difficult to accomplish. What do we mean? Our Lord actually addressed both groups in the commission. He told the saints to do something. He told the saints to go into all the world. And as they were going into all the world, he told them to preach the gospel. We don't have another message. We can't alter it. We can't change it. We can't modify it. We can't soften it. The only thing we can do if we will follow our Lord's command is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. That's what saints must do. He also addressed the lost, however. It's in the expression, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." So what's the misunderstanding? Well, number one, the saved often take on too much responsibility in the process. And often the lost don't understand or take nearly enough of their own responsibility in the process. Christians often are burdened, even beat down and discouraged, because they actually believe on some level they're contributing to the loss of souls. That is, we have this compulsion, this obligation, this call upon us to make sure we do what the Lord says. We do it in every instance. We do it in every manner. We do it every opportunity. We do it. And we need for them to convert, to turn. Christians don't actually lose souls. In fact, the only person who can lose a soul is the soul's owner. Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and," you know the next expression? "His own soul," with a little specificity. His own soul. Who can lose it? Him. Well, Peter in Acts chapter 2, preaching the gospel to the lost, said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Acts 2:42. Who can save their soul? You. Christians don't lose souls. People lose their own souls. Christians don't save souls. You have an obligation and responsibility to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we read through the book of Acts this morning, what we will be noticing is reactions to those who heard the gospel. I'm saying all of that this morning by way of introduction because this afternoon we're going to encourage and set before the challenge for saints to do their part of what the Lord said. Hopefully with the understanding that you cannot do more than the Lord said. You can't save somebody's soul. You can't lose somebody's soul. To that end, you can and must do what the Lord has asked us to do. We have to do that. When the gospel is preached, those who hear it have an obligation. And as you read through the book of Acts, often what you're reading is not simply the preaching of the gospel, but the reaction to those who heard. In other words, you're reading Mark 16, 15, and 16 lived out. The apostles and disciples do exactly what the Lord said, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. They take the gospel into all the world. But then comes the second part. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And they have a lot of different reactions from those who hear the gospel preached. We begin in Acts chapter 2. The first gospel sermon provides the first reaction to the gospel. As Peter has been preaching, beginning back in Acts chapter 2, as early as verse 17, if you will, he reaches verse 22 through 24 and he preaches the gospel. He preaches the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. He supports that sermon with prophecy from David from about verse 25, if you will, over to about verse 30, 31. And then as he nears the end in verse 36, he draws the conclusion to the sermon, he and the other apostles. Therefore, in light of everything that's been said, that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus sits on the right hand of God, exalted and glorified, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What's the reaction? It's verse 37. Now when they, that's not the apostles anymore, that is the second part of Mark 16, 15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? It is expressly because you love your family and your friends that you and I must share the gospel with them. It is expressly because you love the souls of humanity that we must see people in one or two lights. They're saved or they're lost. And if they're lost, they're a mission field and an opportunity. And so we must preach the gospel. We must share the gospel. Coincidentally, Christians, if you want purpose in the morning when you wake up, if you want something to do with your life, if you're looking for meaning and fulfillment, turn off the news and share the gospel with somebody. If you need something to talk about today, then talk about Jesus and how he saved you. Talk about Jesus and what a difference he makes in your life. Forget all of the other stuff that detracts and disturbs and loses focus and causes you to feel a thousand different ways other than good. And share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. The apostles did that. But friends, the response and the obligation to that good news is yours. Those who are lost and apart from God need to understand, you will not be able to offer to God the excuse that I didn't like the way they said it. I didn't like what they said to me. I didn't like or think they were the kind of person that lived right. I watched them and I didn't know. Friends, listen, you have an obligation and a responsibility. Jesus said, he that believeth, that's you, and is baptized shall be saved. These people who not many days ago had a hand in murdering the Savior, when they heard it, they believed it. What's your reaction? When they heard it, they learned that their hands had crucified the Savior. They were sorry about it. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart. And they're the ones who asked, what do we need to do? When was the last time, friend, family, you asked your loved one, what do I need to do to be saved? You see, generally, it's your loved one talking to you. Here, the response and reaction is by those who heard. What shall we do? And friends, they sure told them. You keep reading, just a little few words later, the Bible says, and with many other words did he testify, Peter and the other apostles, and exhort them, saying, listen, if they're saying save yourselves, that means you're not presently saved. Amen. If they're saying save yourselves, that means you're lost and in peril from this untoward generation. Here's a reaction. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Why do Christians misunderstand evangelism? Because Christians misunderstand this reality. When the gospel is planted in good hearts, it germinates and produces the response that's in Acts chapter 2. If a person is not willing to be baptized after hearing the good news, then friends, you need to plow another field. When you read through the New Testament, the reaction is either, what do I need to do and we do it, or I don't want it and I reject it. It's only we who find some way in the middle to keep trying to beat up hard, rocky, stony soil. The disciples didn't do that. They heeded the warning, and so they did. They gladly received the word, and they were baptized. And the same day, God saved them. Acts chapter 4, there's another reaction. The gospel has been being preached. In fact, it's the same gospel, Acts 2, 3, 4, and onward. And the Bible simply makes this statement. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. The Bible says they believed. Were it not for 2,000 years nearly, 1,500 years, if you will, 1,200 years of denominational error, were it not for years of people being taught incorrectly, the word believed when you read it wouldn't conjure up something different than what we just read. For instance, in Acts chapter 2, they said, what shall we do? Peter and the other apostles said, repent and be baptized. Whatever they said is what it means. That's what you need to do. But in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, they said, repent and be converted. Well, did they change their position? Repent and be baptized. Repent and be converted. 3:19. Here, those that believed. And this is why you need to appreciate that when you're reading the Bible, the context of the scriptures as a whole must be taken in the light. The word belief in the Bible has already been firmly established as including action in whatever God has stated. And we talked a little bit about it in Bible class this morning, but it is the biblical definition of faith. That faith includes doing whatever God has prescribed. And so if a person is accredited with belief, it's because that person believed and was willing to do. And were it not for the doing, the belief wouldn't be called belief. What do you mean? You've read the book of Hebrews. You've read chapter 11. The Bible would simply use the expression by faith. What it's telling you is the person who is in question believed. Now then, what did they do based on that belief? So verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God and not of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know what the scriptures might simply say of Noah? He believed. It's because he was willing to do what that belief had God, whatever God said, that belief was willing to do. And you read it all the way through this way. Would you say Noah believed God if God said, I'm going to destroy the world, you make an ark, and Noah didn't make the ark? Now, would you credit him with belief? Neither would the scripture. So when the Bible says in Acts 4, many believed, they heard it and they believed, you have to understand they did what Acts 2:38 said. They did what Acts 3:19 said. And the Bible simply will use the word belief to describe belief with action to follow. In fact, read James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26 to hear James argue the exact same thing. A brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, notwithstanding you say unto them, be warmed and filled, and yet you don't give them anything. James says, how's that faith? How is that belief? He goes on to say, the demons believe and tremble, but they don't obey God. Numbers chapter 13 and 14 would also be another good section of scripture to read. You should read where the spies went up to spy out the land. They believed the land was good and plenteous. They brought back the grapes, but they saw the giants in the land and they weren't willing to go take the land. And as a result of their unwillingness to go take the land, God said they don't believe. You see, it works just the opposite. If you don't do what God said, then God says you don't believe him. If you do respond, you're credited with belief or faith. So when the Bible says they believed, they heard the word and they believed, number was about 5,000. Another reaction is in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 14. Here the Bible says the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Now we started in Acts chapter 2. We've made it to Acts chapter 5. You don't believe there's another gospel, do you? You don't believe there's another message that saves the souls of men? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They started that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 5. Here's another reaction. Those who believe, same thing as Acts chapter 4, same thing as Acts chapter 3 and 2. When they did that, the Bible tells us this. The Lord added them. One of the reasons, friends, you can't join the church. Amen. We can't vote you in. Amen. It's not our church. Some people say, well, where's your church, Eric? I don't have one. Privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to God's glory. Thank you. It's a privilege. It's a high honor. But I don't have a church. I didn't die for anybody. I didn't purchase it with my blood. It's not my church. It can't bear my name. It's not mine. They're God's people. It's his church. Church belongs to Jesus. So how does one get in it? You obey the gospel and the Lord adds you to his church, Acts 2:47. Same thing here. The believers, those who responded to the gospel, were added by the Lord. You know, if we had to vote one another in the church, some folks wouldn't get in. Now, wouldn't that be sad? They'd see me coming, and then they'd say, all in favor? The nays have it. I guess I can't be a part of the Lord's church now. Because I done ruffled some feathers of some folks. Now, Sister Owens is getting in. Now, how's that going to look? Y'all going to let her in and keep me out? I have to get in the church via Sister Owens. I don't know what that's going to do to me trying to get into heaven. Shame on y'all for voting me out of the Lord's church. You see how I did that? Y'all done voted me out. Well, we can't vote each other in and out. That's not the way that works. The Lord adds people to his church. They believed. Friends, let me ask you this. What's your reaction when somebody shares the good news with you? Do you believe it? Some people don't believe. And as a result of not believing, they don't respond to the gospel. Therefore, they're not added by the Lord to his church. Another reaction in Acts chapter 5. Not every reaction was positive. Bible says, but Peter and the apostles answered. Now, just by way of context, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are brought before the council. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And they're asked, by what name are you doing this? Why are you preaching this message? You're trying to put this man's blood upon our hands. And they tell them, verse 17 of Acts chapter 4, don't preach anymore in this name. And they threaten them. Well, in Acts chapter 5, they keep preaching. They are brought back before that same council. And they are asked on this occasion, if you'll read it, they are asked, did not we straitly charge you not to preach anymore in this name? Peter's response and the other apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And then they preached the gospel. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard this, that's the same expression of Acts chapter 2. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? That's Acts 2's response. Acts chapter 5, when they heard it, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. The sad reality, friends, is not everybody responds positively and affirmatively to the gospel. Sometimes it enrages people. Sometimes Christians get discouraged here because, again, Christians make it more about us than about our Savior. They're not rejecting you. It's not your gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And you're trying to share it and teach it to somebody. And that person's reaction is, I'm enraged that you said I'm in sin. I'm enraged that you think I'm lost. I'm enraged that you say I can't get to heaven without Jesus. And I don't want it. And friends, if that's your reaction, you should know you will be losing your own soul. You will be the one walking away from the only Savior who can wash away your sins and give you a home in heaven. Some gladly receive the word. Others cut to the heart and enraged, even wanting to kill the messengers who brought the good news. Acts chapter 8, yet another response and reaction. Simon had bewitched the people, we're told. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 4 and verse number 5. Those that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel. To him, speaking of Simon, they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them. He had tricked them with sorceries. Maybe somebody is tricking you about what to believe about Jesus. Simon had tricked people. But they heard the gospel. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Friends, it is a consistent message that went into the world, and when people who desire to obey it heard it, they responded in the same consistent manner. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2, they believed and they were baptized. Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5. Here we are in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria, different people, different place, and when they believed it, they were baptized, both men and women. Friends, what will be your reaction to the gospel when people who love you, care for you, and your soul bring the good news of Jesus Christ, tries to share that message with you? What will be your reaction? We pray it will be positive so that you can be saved. Yet another reaction later in the chapter, Philip leaves Samaria, told by the Holy Spirit, the angel, to go and join himself to a man in a chariot. As they went on their way, Philip preached Christ unto him, we're told. They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chair to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The Bible says Philip preached Jesus. And then the Bible says the eunuch said, See, here's water. What is it about preaching Jesus that leads the hearer to say, Here is some water. What's hindering me? Because to preach Jesus is to preach the gospel. It's to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And when that man heard that, friends, it would be strange for somebody to say baptism isn't essential when the eunuch is the one saying there's the water. He thinks it's essential because he heard Jesus preached. Some people are going to tell you, preach the man, not the plan. The problem is the man has a plan. And they're inseparable. If you try to take Jesus without his word, friends, you will be on your way to the devil's hell. But you will not be on your way to heaven. You can't have Jesus without his word. Philip and the eunuch understood that. There is some water right there. Friends, listen. Here is where, again, Christians misunderstand. You shouldn't be arm wrestling somebody to get them into the baptistry. You shouldn't be the one putting them in the headlock, dragging them to the baptistry. They should be knocking you down to get in. How could you keep me out when I understand what I need to do to be saved? I'll find the water. That's what the eunuch did. They were driving down the road in the chariot. Philip didn't seem to notice the water. The eunuch sure did. Hold on, man, stop this chariot. There's some water right there. Let me get in it so I can be saved. And folks say, you don't even need to be baptized today. And friends, some of y'all believe them. Some of y'all believe those people. This man is chariot. Whoa, the chariot. So I can get in that water. What's stopping me? Christian friends, we have an obligation to share the gospel. Teach the gospel. Let me ask you this. Why are we so quiet? We don't have an obligation to hog time and pull them down here. We don't have an obligation to wrestle them. We don't have an obligation to guilt them, trick them, manipulate them, pull them, tug them. We have an obligation to share it. When's the last time you had a problem sharing good news? You want me to start talking about my grandsons? I got no problem. Good news. You want me to talk about my promotion? Good news. You want me to talk about a new birth? Good news. New job? Good news. New house? Good news. New everything. We got no problem sharing good news. We'll share you. Listen, I'm eating at so-and-so. Look at this food I'm about to eat. Let me take a picture of my plate. Why? It's going to be good. A meal. Good news. I'll share it. All over the world, whole world wide web can see my plate. But I can't talk about Jesus, friends. That's because we somehow misunderstand. The obligation is sharing the good news. Go preach it. Go give it to them. Love them enough to say something. But you know what? They got us distracted. They got us thinking about a lot of other stuff. They got our minds on a lot of different items. They got us in the morning. Nearly 23 of those hours, they got us. If it's not the television, if it's radio, it's the internet, it's this. And it's everything in there. Somebody said, Eric don't like the internet. I didn't say that. Eric don't like television. Yeah, but I didn't say that. What I'm saying is they're getting us, friend. They're getting us. They're getting us off the thing we're supposed to be doing. And they will do it 100 different ways. They don't care which one. They just need one to work. And if it's entertainment, they'll entertain us till we can't be entertained no more. If it's something funny, they will let us laugh all day, all night, and there'll be another one and another one and another one. And did you see this one? And did you see this? Let me tell you about this. And you ain't gonna believe this one. I cry when I say, try not to laugh. They'll get, if it's laughter, they'll get us. I ain't saying nothing wrong with laughter, but you shouldn't be laughing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Come on now. There's much stuff to do. If they get us with overburdening us, oh, I'm so stressed. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I just can't think. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't think. They'll take it. They'll take stress. You want stress? They'll give it to you. Give you a whole lot of stress. Put you under a burden and a weight so heavy you can't function. We got them. Entertainment, stress, anxiety, fun, you name it, we'll give it to you. Just don't talk about Jesus. Because y'all are the only ones who can. Y'all the only ones who can. We got everybody else. We got everybody else right where we want them. What we need is you. Preached a sermon last week entitled, they gave me the title, I didn't make it up. Here's the title: Satan Comes to Worship. Satan Comes to Worship. You won't actually see the devil in worship. That's not actually what they meant. You won't, I hope that's not, you won't actually see the devil. She has influence though. How do you know when Satan comes to worship? Let me tell you a little bit about Satan. You should know these things. Let me just tell you a little bit about him. Satan is actually fine with you coming to worship. Now he'll try to keep you out if he can, because that'll be the easy part. You just stay on in this bed. You're tired. You know you're tired. You won't go down there. You don't go down there. You know you're tired. You know you're tired. You work so hard. And you deserve it. You're so tired. You worked so hard last week. You deserve this sleep. Ain't it good? Sleep ain't never been better than Sunday morning. I'm telling you. You ain't never slept better than Sunday morning. That Sunday morning sleep, ooh, it everything else is no comparison. It's warmer if you like warmer. It's cooler if you like cooler. It's just good. Pillow is soft. It's just so good. Sunday. All right, I'm going to move on. Sister only gave me the eye. If he can keep you out, great. But he doesn't mind you coming. He'll come right down here with you. He'll do some stuff like this. He'll say, yeah, you should worship God. I agree. You should worship God. But shouldn't you get something out of it too? I mean, you should feel good, shouldn't you? I mean, you should worship God. You should even do what he says, but shouldn't you be able to show your talent? Shouldn't you be able to praise him if you want to and the way you want to? I mean, nobody can really tell you how to praise God. Shouldn't you be able to? And people, well, shouldn't you be able to show your talent? And shouldn't you be able to like feel something, get something out of it? You shouldn't have to give to him all. He should get something. So people get to thinking in their mind, you know, I should worship. Should. Pretty soon what you'll do is you'll turn worship about you more than about God. And pretty soon you'll actually believe worship ought to be something that gives you something rather than you giving something to God. And Satan is fine with you coming. He'll just tweak it and turn it and change it a little bit so that in the end you're not doing what God said and the way God said it. You're down here, though, and you're worshiping. He's fine with you doing that. But he'll just alter. Ultimately, Satan can come in to worship and make people so prideful that a person could actually be up praying to God, exalting themselves. Is he crafty? Is he cunning? May you be up in here in the middle of a prayer. That prayer gets so long and involved and engaged, and pretty soon all people can think about is, wow, that guy is a fantastic prayer. And you'll walk down these stairs. I did that. But listen, you don't think he can get to preachers? You don't think a preacher can turn into a peacock? Right in front of you, feathers come right out the back, strutting every which way. Satan will get him. Man, you good. Boy, you good. Get to the back and let him tell you how good you are. You know it. You know it. You don't think Satan. Satan went to worship with a man, and when the man was done worshiping, the man murdered his brother. You didn't read Genesis 4. Cain was of that wicked one. Went to worship God and murdered his brother. You don't think he can come in here with people in their hearts and mind? They can come to worship and be murdering their brothers and sisters' character in the back. But they at worship. What I'm saying to you, friends, is they're distracting us. They're getting us. 100 different ways they're getting us. But I tell you what they're getting us not to do. The only thing we don't do is talk about Jesus. And everybody's happy but the Lord with that. Satan is fine with us. Distracted on 100 different things. Just don't talk about Jesus. Philip said, if you believe. The gospel is being preached through the New Testament, and people are responding to it and obeying it. The Bible says of the Jews in Acts chapter 13, Paul says that they contradicted and blasphemed. That's what they were doing. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. They spake against those things. Do people speak against the gospel when it's preached? Yes. They were spoken by Paul. They contradicted and blasphemed. Do they do that? Yes. But look at Paul's reaction. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first have been spoken to you. But seeing, listen to it, ye put it from you. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Coincidentally, if you read Acts 13, 47 to 52, the Gentiles were so thankful when they heard the gospel. The Jews rejected it. The Gentiles were thrilled to have a part in hearing it. Friends, if you don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's because you have judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. You can't put that on God's people. And Christian friends, you're not obligated to save people. You're obligated to share the good news. Acts chapter 16. The jailer asks, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Bible is so good. God is so good. Somebody has suggested that he has anticipated every error of man. There are those who say you don't have to do anything. That's an interesting answer to a question that has what must I do in it. Everybody in the New Testament understood you have to do something. Everybody understands that. Both the preachers and the audiences. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it's the people who ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts chapter 8, it was the eunuch who said, see, here's water, what's hindering me? Acts chapter 16, it's the jailer who asked, sirs, what must I do? Friends, when you take a position in the Bible, your position ought to be able to be read out of the Bible. If the answer to the question of what must I do to be saved is nothing, then somebody in the New Testament should have said that. Nobody did. Every time the question was asked, they got an answer. And that answer involved doing something. Coincidentally, nobody was ever told, say the sinner's prayer in response to this question. Nobody's ever told that. So if you've ever been told that, you've been told something that's not in the Bible. And not the response from anybody in the Bible. No one was ever told, you don't have to do anything because Jesus has done everything. Nobody was ever told that. Nobody was ever told except Jesus as your personal Savior. Nobody was ever told that. Some people have suggested and said, what Paul did say was, believe on the Lord. See right there. Aha! That's what you need to do. Well, we talked about this briefly, but let me ask you this. The man who has never heard about Jesus, if the man were told, believe on the Lord, what would he believe? How are you going to believe on the Lord without being taught about the Lord? Paul does say, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The very next verse says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same night, the hour of the night, and washed their stripes and was baptized. When was he baptized? After he heard about the Lord. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If somebody tells you to believe on the Lord and you don't know the Lord, you don't have anything to believe until they tell you about the Lord. And after they do that, you can hear the good news and respond in faith. The man didn't do anything or know what to do until he was told about the Savior. Chapter 17, another reaction. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Some people do that today. Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. Again, you have both sides. You have the reaction to those who heard Paul's sermon in Acts chapter 17. One of the greatest sermons in the scriptures, just outstanding. You read the sermon that Paul preached on Mars Hill. But some people heard it and then mocked. And then others said, we'll hear you again. Would you look at the next verse? And this is for Christians. The Bible says, so Paul departed from among them. Why? Because Acts chapter 17, Paul leaves Mars Hill and he goes to Corinth in Acts 18. And the Lord appears to Paul in a dream in Acts 18 and says, I have many people. I have much souls in this city. What happens if you stay on Mars Hill? And friends, far too many times, Christians stay on Mars Hill trying to drum up a person to obey the gospel who doesn't want it. They need to do what Paul says and depart. Still, even here, some clave unto him and believed. Acts chapter 18, the Corinthians. The Bible says they believed. They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. Jesus said, I have much people in this city. Christian friends, God has much people in this city. God has much people in every city who will hear the gospel and respond to it if we'll but take it to them. The question this morning is not so much about the Christians as much as it is about those who hear. Mark 16, 15 and 16 has two parts. Go into all the world, believers. Preach the gospel to every creature. Has an obligation and responsibility on those who hear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Friends, nothing's changed about that. The question this morning is, what would be your reaction to the gospel? There were a myriad of different reactions. Some received it gladly. Others were cut to the heart and gnashed on them and wanted to kill them. Some mocked. Some stopped chariots to get into that water so they could be saved. What will be your reaction this morning to the good news of Jesus Christ? That God sent Jesus because he loves you. That Jesus died because he loves you. And the good news is you can get out of sin this morning. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. You can turn from sin, repent, and be converted, Acts 3:19. You can confess the name of Jesus if you believe in the Lord with all your heart. You can be saved this morning, Romans 10:9-10. And you can be immersed in water, baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Where you can emulate the Savior's death, burial, and resurrection, and you can rise and walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3, and 4. And friends, if you've not done that, friends, the responsibility and obligation is not ours. Because everybody who is a Christian did. They responded in that way to the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, that responsibility is yours. Christian friends, we're going to challenge each other this month. We're going to stop being so distracted by the world and its ongoing efforts to get the only people off of their task who can seek and to save the lost, share the good news of Jesus Christ. And may we focus, be alert, be attentive, and may we say something, because people are lost and they need Jesus. We can help you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.